Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I've got to be honest, mate, I'm a bit confused.
Confused?
Well, Screen Stalker, as podcast listeners will be well aware, something we launched last April, I believe it was, or March, our video game and movie channel, has been a bit inactive. Laurie told me he was just biding his time, and then he started laughing. So I thought, well, that seems perfectly normal.
Yeah, well, that's just what he does on a daily basis, really.
And now the whole channel's had all the content disappear, and the banner's black, and it says developmental.
Do you know what? I think we're probably okay.
I think you've said this before.
I think it's going to be something that we will find out about very soon. And I think it will be something that's very exciting.
Hashtag join developmental order.
That is...
Segway! Yes,
that is what it's going to be. On that note, on that bombshell, let's get into this week's AEW review, starting with who is the real father of Eric Cartman? And have they been possibly revealed? Here's the show.
First off, of a very newsworthy, stacked episode of Dynamite, we're going to talk about a little thing that was never actually mentioned, but was very, very blatant.
Do you want to hear my conspiracy theory on this?
Do you want to say what it is first?
Okay, yeah. So during the big tag team battle royal, during this, the Dark Order of Uno and Grayson and their sort of like spokesman person that they've had in the videos.
I'm so glad he's now an on-screen character because he's only ever been in backstage vignettes or short films.
Yeah.
Now he's in the arena.
But he was there to continue their feud with SCU. And they distracted SCU while they're in the match. That led to them getting eliminated in the Battle Royal. And then Kaz and Scott, well, Kaz just did this big old dive to kind of wipe this guy out and wipe out Uno.
He loves running after people in the crowd.
Yeah, this time I think he meant to do it. They all of a sudden just sat there behind the Dark Order was Raven, former NWA World's Champion, former WCW United States Champion. I think he was a television champion as well.
Former
ECW Champion, the greatest wrestler who ever lived. And I think Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels would definitely agree.
Is it Luke's favourite wrestler?
Well, no, sorry. The best wrestler
Luke's
ever.
Favourite wrestler.
Luke's favourite wrestler who is also the best. Raven was just sort of sat there. And it's interesting that this Dark Order fellow said, the Exalted One is closer than you think. Then they, you know, he's literally behind them. and Jimmy Havoc shared a picture of him posing with Raven. So, you know, they were mentioning that he was there in, you know, in certain capacity. But
never on the actual
No, the commentary never made reference to it. So do you want to give your thoughts on this? And then I'll give you my conspiracy theory as to what they were going for here.
I think it's a red herring. I think this is a genius move by AEW. It really is a masterpiece of misdirection, because Dark Order is a very interesting case to follow. You had this big push at them mm-hmm. over the pre-TV era,
yep.
and it didn't catch on.
No, absolutely.
Didn't get over.
Nope.
Then they went back to basics. They sort of rebuilt them with this really good promo campaign, and then they jumped the gun too early. They put them in the main event scene, and it was an absolute failure, to the extent where the people in charge of the booking now have a dad on top of them. Yes. Tony Khan is now overseeing more stuff to stop that last Dark Order storyline going as south as it did. The plan for that one was for Marty Scurll to be revealed as the leader. Then that changed. Marty Scurll signed with Ring of Honor. This is, you know, December time. So thankfully for AEW, they've got a backup in Broken Matt Hardy. His contract expires on the 1st of March. Matt Hardy has been making loads and loads of teases that he's going to AEW in social media posts. It's really, really quite explicit. Almost too much. And here, in this episode, one of the main people a lot of fans have speculated could be the leader, which is Raven. He's just sitting there in that brilliant Raven style.
Yeah.
You know, like, legs couldn't be more man spread. He doesn't give an F.
Yep.
He's just sitting there like this.
It's very, yeah, it's the names that people always said is like, it's going to be Matt Hardy, Brody Lee, Daniels, Raven, or Marty Scurll. Those were like the five names that were always brought up as possible leaders of the Dark Order. So Raven sitting there was 100% by design. And here's my thinking on this. They Buddy Murphy'd it. Do you remember during the Who Shot Roman Reigns? Well, in this year. Do you remember during the Who Shot Roman Reigns storyline? Buddy Murphy was just backstage in this area. And he was caught on camera of this. And everyone online was like, it's Buddy Murphy. Mm. Buddy Murphy was the one who attacked Roman Reigns backstage. Or, you know, he's the one that run him over. You know, whatever way you want to do this. It's Buddy Murphy. Turns out, Buddy wasn't supposed to be there. And WWE had to, for 3 weeks, pretend that Buddy Murphy was part of this push. And then they just let him go. And they were like, now you can get a Raw and do nothing for ages. Now you're part of Seth's faction. But the internet got very excited that it was possibly Buddy Murphy. I think they did this on purpose. By not having the commentary say it, by not having anyone in this sort of like the program refer to it, the internet could be like, I spotted it. I was the one who saw that it was Raven. Let's all talk about Raven. Let's talk about Raven being the leader of this group and a way to use social media to enhance this storyline.
Yeah, AEW's focus on it has been purely online. Nothing was addressed on the TV broadcast. It's all Jimmy Havoc posting the picture. I think AEW posted a picture of it as well, the actual Twitter account. And it's just a genius move because it's still going to be Matt Hardy.
I don't want it to be
Matt Hardy. The character's name is the Exalted One.
I don't want it to be
Matt Hardy. That is the most Matt Hardy name ever. And you know what? Maybe I'll eat my words. I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea anymore either. But this week was the most, you know, with Matt Hardy essentially being written off WWE by Randy Orton.
Twice.
That was the most confident I've ever been that he's the leader. That's kind of predictable for the story you're telling. So they chuck Raven in the background of a shot, don't even mention him. And you've got me doubting it now.
Yeah.
It's a genius red herring to just make me keep guessing is quite an obvious answer.
I think Hardy's a red herring. I think Matt Hardy and Raven are both red herrings in this situation. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing this to then reveal that it's Daniels. Because conspicuous by his absence was Daniels during this tag team battle royal. And they've now recruited, seemingly recruited, Shima.
He wrestled with the idea. He was given a mask and he walked off.
Yeah, and, you know, Daniels and Shima have history together, and they had that match at Fighter Fest and things like that, which was all built around their past. We've had some big super chats in.
Whoa.
Like, really, really big super chats in. I didn't want to distract you from your...
Tomo!
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll get to the super chats in a moment, because, boy, you know, Tomo's back. Tomo's back with a vengeance. So, what was I saying? I think they're both red herrings.
Yes.
I think it's almost too obvious that it's Matt. I think now at this point it's almost too obvious that it's Raven.
Mm.
I think they're doing this to reveal that it is CD. And
Daniels.
Daniels. But in my fantasy booking world, it's Raven. I think Raven is the perfect person to be the leader. He's the perfect person to be the exalted one. Doesn't have to get in the ring, doesn't have to wrestle. His strong suit is his promos. He's got an incredible promo.
Yeah.
He's also got an incredible mind for the business, so working backstage with people to help further this storyline is just the best idea you could possibly have. Just having Raven in your sort of like inner circle team is probably the best call for AEW anyway, because he's got such a good mind for the business. And I don't want it to be Matt Hardy. I don't want it to be Brody Lee. It's not Marty Scurll. And if it's not Raven, I want it to be Daniels.
Mm.
Not to say that I'm going to be disappointed if it's any of the other options, but my fantasy booking side is I want it to be Raven.
That's one of the things that AEW are so strong at. There are multiple good ways you can do this. Mm. One more last thing to add on Raven. Of course, yeah, it'll be a great backstage. You know, he started off really as a producer. Johnny Polo?
He was a commentator as Johnny
Polo.
But
he had a backstage office role.
Yes.
That was part of his WWE contract in the early 90s, and that was really the thing that made him see... Why aren't the wrestlers getting this level of corporate benefits? Because he had a different kind of contract. He was corporate employed, wasn't an independent contractor wrestler at that time. And that seems to be, in interviews he's done since, one of the passion projects, the loose ends that he wasn't able to do, and that is make that wrestlers union.
Mm.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Our Pledge Amazon Patreon. Thank you so much, Arnie K. The K stands for the coolest dude ever.
He is cool. Yes. He can last Sean far longer than you in the ring.
Woo-hoo. Tantalizing, Travis Mankletoe.
He is tantalizing. Let's have a drink, Christopher Travis Merriman, yeah. Like Hangman Page.
I should have said Mankletoe, actually. All-star, Chuck Turner.
Yeah, woo-hoo. Lovely stuff. Becky's favorite brother, James Lynch.
Yeah, Becky.
Sort of mine.
Or James. Probocop.
It was called Probo. Probocop. Ask his future husband and EOF one-man wrecking crew skin trade.
Yeah, he's still in there.
Still the last time, I think, for a while.
Duncan. Just Duncan.
Just Duncan, ooh, mate. The power couple, Stephen and Giovanna, they're over there.
The picture's there. Ari, the Boozerweight Feldberg.
Oh, yeah. That's a good name. We're going to be Boozerweights on our party tomorrow night. And the Hunter, Tyler Bailey.
He's coming for you. Thank you, everyone, all so much. Super chats on the Dark Order leader, Jozoan, says, Daniels as Fallen Angel is the Exalted One, and in an attempt to bring him back, SCU term Broken Matt. Daniels versus Matt, and Dark Order versus SCU.
Mm. So the Matt Hardy red herring is actually, he comes in to fight the Dark Order.
That's not the worst idea. Then they can all exist in that kind of wacky promo world.
Yeah.
Because Dark Order have created their own kind of pocket verse in AEW. Christopher Jazz Cat called it. Raven also did the backstage voice altered promo. His accent mannerisms jumped out at me. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So a few people have said that this could be, you know, even more evidence that it's Raven. But I'm still, yeah. I mean, he's my pick. He's the one I'd like. But the way that he was sat there feels like it's a very red herring thing.
Mm. And Sean Dunn, wild prediction. Luchasaurus is the Exalted One.
Well, that is wild.
He's the extinct one.
Yeah, that is a wild, wild prediction there, Sean.
There are so... Thank you ever so much, because it's not just Tomo with a massive sort of super chat. It's also loads of people have been very generous, so thank you.
Yeah.
AEW brings the love. I'll do Tomo's one just because... You know, how can you not?
Yeah, it was huge.
Really enjoyed Dynamite this week. I actually bought tickets.
Oh!
To Double or Nothing in May. Hope that show will be fantastic.
I really think it will be.
Because tickets went on sale last Friday.
Yep.
Tomo is swaffed under, for context. He lives in Australia.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Absolutely, man.
Discord, if you're watching, Tomo, Discord me your travel plans and tell us about it. And we can talk about that later. I feel like your super chat deserves us talking a lot more to you.
Should we do a couple more super chats, then we'll get out of here?
Yeah. Get on with the rest of the show.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Get out of this segment into the next segment. That's totally what I was going for. The bad one, Ryan B. Bad. This should have been a fantastic show, but a few things bothered me about it, such as the no escaping the cage to win rule. Fact that both Wardlow and Cobb lost their debut matches, and the Jericho ticket stuff.
I'm not sure. With the ticket stuff.
I'm not sure about that one. I think there was arguments for the Wardlow and Cobb thing, but I think AEW did the best that they could to really, really protect both those guys. But I actually love the fact that, like, cage matches were designed to not be escape rules. Like, escape rules have come in from, like, the WWE in sort of, like, the early 2000s, and I think WCW started as well. But, like, old school cage matches, the idea was you lock these two into a cage until only one person walks out a winner, as opposed to... This feud is so heated that you have to get in this cage and then try and escape from each other. Yeah. Like, the whole point is you're locked in this cage and no one else can get in. So I think I would much prefer cage matches to be no escape.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, and one last one. This comes in from Celtic Kiss, who says, really want to see Nyla as fighting champion. Just be cocky and monstering those smaller than her coming out every week.
Yeah, I really like that. I've been saying for weeks... Don't let her cut promos. Let her be a silent monster. And I'm very happy to eat that pie. Give me that humble pie.
Yeah.
Because I thought she cut a really good promo.
Indeed.
But I will come onto it in the show. AEW Dynamite started out with a battle royal.
With that tag team battle royal.
Not just a battle royal. JR started his run of slobber knocker calls. He opened it with, it's slobber knocker time.
It's great stuff.
I loved it. JR is getting better week to week. It's like he's slowly...
Yeah, he's finding his feet.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's not, yeah, really found his feet now. I am not usually particularly a fan of Battle Royals. I'm less into tag team Battle Royals because I particularly hate the rule. Once one person has been eliminated, the entire team is eliminated.
Totally agree.
I hate that rule.
Totally agree.
It's so silly. But AEW did it here, where you've got to eliminate both members. That's one problem already solved. And this Battle Royal, what I loved about it wasn't just that it was full of fun spots and just a great series of moments. It was also just splintering off and doing various different storylines throughout it. It's continuing Santana and Ortiz versus the Bucks, SCU versus the Dark Order, Best Friends starting a feud with Butcher and Blade, that showdown between Luchasaurus and the Butcher, which has been sort of teased in various things. So it's kind of like it's spinning a lot of plates and sort of setting up various different bits and bobs that of either continuing storylines or starting new storylines. I was a big, big fan of this.
Yeah, really liked it. All those spots you mentioned. Private Party had the silly string, which is like tailor-made for a tag team battle royal close elimination. It was really well told. There were fun spots and everything seemed to further something. And at the end, we get into this awesome sequence. I've seen someone commented on the video or something, or got in touch with us, saying, "Oh no, it was the Cage Side Seats review."
Yeah, you read this out to me.
This was a good match until Super Matt at the end.
Yeah,
and
until Matt Jackson became Super Cena.
So what happened in the match was it's pretty much just Matt Jackson left of the Young Bucks. Nick's been eliminated earlier, and he spears Butcher off the apron, through the ropes, so that's one person eliminated. And then it's just, I've put LAX here, but it's Ortiz and Santana. So it's him versus both of them, and Sammy Guevara, the little gnat that he is, who's gotten up onto the rope. Sammy jumps off the top rope, and Matt kills him with a super kick.
He killed him dead. Like, this was a Mortal Kombat fatality.
It was amazing. Simon, housemate Simon in the office, described it as the Ricochet Adam Cole famous super kick off the springboard moonsault spot, but Sammy Guevara jumped 8 times higher. And he does. He jumps so high and he comes down into this perfectly timed super kick. I mean, Matt's great at super kicks, but all of this was Sammy for me.
Yeah.
The way he sold it was like he folded back on himself.
It almost felt like he kicked him into another dimension. Sammy just almost like he bended space around himself because he was kicked so hard.
It was incredible. And then off of that, Matt super kicked Ortiz off the apron. That came before the Sammy spot. And then he eliminated Santana for the win. And, I thought that was an excellent end.
Yeah.
It was a great babyface underdog comeback spot because it was one versus not just two in the end, it was three of the Inner Circle.
Again, considering that Elite versus Inner Circle feud that's been going on since the start of the television era.
But this Cage Side Seats review said they were sick of it because it was like Super Cena booking because Matt Jackson isn't believable enough because he's too tiny. I was just reading this. So baffled that someone could have watched this sequence and had that reaction. Not saying it's if that's the way they felt, that's the way they felt. But the issue with John Cena was never so much how he was booked. Some of those, you take some of those underdog comeback spots and put them on Tyler Bate or on Kevin Owens. That's great babyface booking. The problem was his character wasn't connecting with the audience.
Yeah.
For me, Matt Jackson's character definitely connected. I thought this was a terrific finish. And it sets up the Bucks versus Paige and Omega at the pay-per-view. And in the last bit here, I was genuinely thinking, maybe Santana and Ortiz might face them.
Yeah, and during the Lucha Brothers match, I thought the way they really constructed lot of those near falls really made me think that they were going to swerve us and go in a different direction. Yeah, I thought it was a really, really, really fun Battle Royal. Yeah. And if I was to be super critical and nitpicky, if I'm going to pick some nits there, a Battle Royal with all the teams doesn't make a lot of sense when you've got rankings. Like, the whole point of rankings is that you determine who the ranked challengers are to the titles. Then you just put them on. It's like, whoever wins this gets the shot. So what's the point of the rankings then?
But it's so fun.
After that, we got Statlander versus Shanna, which is, what we've been saying for weeks. This is your women's division.
Shannon Ballsy.
Use them.
And Britt Baker's out on commentary, brings Tony Schiavone, Schiavone, sorry, a Starbucks cup with Tony on his name.
Spelt wrong.
Was it spelt wrong?
Yeah, it was spelled T-O-N-E-Y.
Oh, great. I was just about, I didn't spot that, but that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And yeah, this was a fun match. The crowd was super into it, great crowd. And yeah, the Statlander actually won relatively quickly. A lot of the match took place in the ad break.
Yeah.
But it was all entertaining.
It was the next chapter in this reset of AEW's women's division that kind of really felt like it was started last week with the dropping of the Nightmare Collective. And was that last week or 2 weeks ago? What was the belt whipping? Was that last week?
I think it was. No, that was 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. It wasn't exactly popped the rating. So it started with the Nightmare Collective, then Nyla winning the championship, and now here. It just feels like we have just had this soft reset of the women's division. Let's try this again. And, you know, during Nyla's promo, Statlander comes out, Big Swole comes out. So it really feels like, you know, we're starting a storyline over the championship. What a novel concept.
Yeah, that was the next segment. It was a Nyla Rose interview with Schiavone on the ramp. And like I said in the Super Chat bit, she was really good.
It was really good.
She compared the crowd to bees, which, you know, I was like, okay, whatever. But then she started to say she should have been the first champion. She was here. She should have been on the marketing material. All that's made me angry. And when I'm angry, I break bitches. That worked really well. So more of that.
Yeah, she's going to be a one-time champion because no one's going to beat
her.
Yeah,
that was a great
really,
line.
Really good line, yeah. Statlander comes out and she goes to, like, boop Nyla, but instead boops the title.
I like that.
And then Big Swole comes out to also pose and security has to come out and break them all up. So, yeah. And, you know, the next step in... So, I mean, we've got to get a title match announced next week for Revolution, you've got to imagine. So whether they do a triple threat, whether they do Statlander versus Swole, number one contender, who knows? I mean, Statlander is ranked number two.
I think a three-way would be nicest. Then you can sort of protect everyone, still put on a women's match, but set stuff up for the future.
Yeah.
After that, we got Mox versus Jeff Cobb. Yes, please. So... opening this was this really, really effective video recap of the previous week's angle. Likewise, ahead of the Nyla Rose interview, there was a recap of the Rose-Rio match when Rose won. And they had about three more really good 90-second long video recap packages throughout the rest of the episode. This is the first time they've done that properly and effectively. I think this is a huge upgrade as AEW... as a television program. I thought it worked brilliantly, especially for the Steel Cage match, and they had these sit-down interview segments with Cody, Taz, Arn Anderson, and for the first time, really, since the TV era, I thought, this is what I thought AEW would look like.
I think they are now more comfortable in their ratings. Mm. I think in those first few months, really, I think that the standard we've had is that promos sort of turn off and video packages turn away viewers. That makes people turn over to the other channel. And because they are competing with another company here for these eyes, they don't want to put something on the TV that might make someone change the channel. So you have short promo segments, you have short interviews, and you have the matches. The matches can get people to stick around. Actually, it's the reverse of what happened during the Attitude Era, which was that people would tune out for matches and then tune back in for promos. So I think now they're just more comfortable in what their viewing patterns are. They are nowhere, like 500,000 was what TNT wanted, and they've always exceeded that. Mm. You know, they've been exceeding that for months now. So I think they are like, do you know what, we can put things like this on for 90 seconds. I don't think we're in too much fear of people changing the channel.
Yeah, yeah. As a holistic approach to AEW, not as just a wrestling promotion or a TV show. This is a good TV show.
Yeah.
This is like UFC. So, I thought the production upgrade was fantastic. And to add to that, let's bring out Taz on commentary so we can talk about suplexes.
The suplex machine. As I said in my review, they brought him out so we could get off on all those suplexes.
Taz and Raven on the same show.
Oh, yeah.
Really? It's coming. ECW Revival.
Yes!
It's overdue! We haven't had one for 3 years! Tommy Dreamer out there.
ECW!
Depressing dropkick in the corner. but it's Mox versus Cobb. Jericho comes out at ringside with a ticket with Hager and Sammy.
Yeah. Crowd love that sing-along.
I've written here, surprised he hasn't got a surgical mask on after his podcast episode. you know, exposing the truth behind the coronavirus.
You see my joke I did about that in the in the review, where I said, oh, Jericho was at ringside. Or maybe he wasn't. Maybe it was just a figment of my imagination implanted by a satanic government.
I cannot wait to listen to that podcast episode. It's going to... I'm looking forward to how angry it's going to make me.
Jericho does this a lot, where he gets truthers on to be like, let's look at the other side of it. But at no point does Jericho play the, like, but what about all this scientific evidence that shows that you're wrong? What he does instead, he goes like, oh, really? Yeah. That's so interesting. And essentially just gives them more, but he's like, oh, I am right. Yeah, and Jericho totally believes me, which is why he sometimes fails as an interviewer.
Mm. Yeah, so get your opinions on. That's the question of the day.
Coronavirus, conspiracy or truth?
We shouldn't say it out loud too much. Interesting fact, y'all, our video, our news video yesterday, if you're curious about how YouTube works, we had coronavirus in the title because of the New Japan stuff. Really interesting effect on the Japanese wrestling industry. They're starting to have to do essentially empty arena shows out of fear of too many fans getting in the same place, might spread the outbreak further. We put coronavirus in the title, and there's no ads have run on it.
Yeah.
It tells you in the back end. So, yeah.
And that's because we mentioned it. So, no ads on yesterday's video.
Cobb feels like a superstar just immediately.
Yeah.
Like, this match was really well done. Cobb always looked in control, but somehow didn't undermine Moxley. I mean, no. Moxley's got the eye patch on anyway.
Yeah.
But he is just... It was so beautiful to see Cobb effortlessly manhandle him, Mox, while Taz talked about the talk in the hips.
Yeah. And it was Cobb doing these big power moves on Jericho, the big suplexes, lots of the popping in the hips and stuff. And Mox trying to take out the base, trying to take out that vertical base, locking in that knee bar at one point. Some really, really smart sort of like wrestling psychology in here. And I particularly love Mox doing the double axe handle to the floor and Cobb just catching him and just be like, suplex. Cobb is, I don't know what his deal is with AEW, whether it's just a few shows or whatever, but like if I'd be wanting to sign this guy. Like, I've been a big fan of his for years, but I think he is just an exceptional talent.
Apparently everyone is trying to sign him.
I'm not surprised.
He's like, yeah, I'll be freelance for a bit. Thanks.
Oh, smart man.
Baller.
Smart man.
Gangster move.
They did some New Japan forearms, super kick by Cobb, sent Moxley into the ropes. So he tried a clothesline on Cobb to no effect. So Cobb's just clobbered him with this clothesline. And then he deadlift suplex Moxley back into the ring off this suplex, like a middle rope suplex. But Moxley cleverly hooks the leg off the back of it and just ekes out this pin. So I know you could make the argument you shouldn't have beaten Cobb in his debut, but they did everything they possibly could to make it look like Mox essentially fluked out this win.
Yeah, it's a famous finish from a Randy Savage or a Ricky Steamboat match? The sort of superplex, oh, but I hooked the leg.
Oh, it might be, I'm not sure.
It's been done before, but that's not to say it's, you know, overdone. It's just a callback. Particularly the, you know, how Mox, if it is a Randy Savage thing, people are probably going to point this out in the comments. The axe handle, that's a Randy Savage move. Mm. It's very nicely done. But I think it is a shame that you beat both Wardlow and Cobb
on the same show.
On the same show.
That is, yeah.
But it's not, you know, I thought they, like you said, they did everything they possibly could to protect these guys in defeat. I think Cobb still looks awesome. He was surprised. You know, he was just like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
And then the Inner Circle beat up Mox. Same with Wardlow. I think Wardlow looked fantastic out the end of it.
Considering how well they've protected the Diamond Ring and the Crossroads, him kicking out of both of those really, really strongly protects him.
But yeah, it is unfortunate that you managed to make both really intimidating big guys lose in their debut match on the same show.
Yeah.
It's just,
you want to spread those out.
Yeah,
you do. It does highlight, doing both of them. Yeah, you're right. Mm. I mean, you're completely right on that.
But that's super nitpicky stuff. They did kind of book themselves into this corner.
But let's talk about this post-match. Because Inner Circle start beating down Moxley, because of course that's what they do. Dustin runs down to make the save. He clears house a little bit, but the numbers game gets the better of them. Lights go out. God, AEW bloody love this. Lights go out. And when they come back up, it's Darby Allin. And Darby Allin gets this, like, enormous superstar pop.
Yeah.
This was an incredible reaction for this guy who's only been gone from TV for a couple of weeks. But this crowd wanted to see Darby Allin. And he just stands up on top of the ramps while his music's playing, and he's just circling. And the crowd are going ballistic for this. Skates down to the ring, gets in like Bart Simpson in the Simpsons arcade game, starts walloping people with a skateboard. In a circle, Bale, him and Mox Clearhouse working together, paradigm shift to Cobb. Then you had the Jericho-Moxley hockey fight.
That was great.
Jericho bails, Moxley and Allin stand tall. It made Darby Allin look like the biggest star in this company. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then it got better because Lucha Bros and Page and Omega had potentially the best end 5 minutes of a match in all of AEW.
This was so good.
So yeah, it's Pentagon, it's Phoenix. It should always be those two guys. I don't know how often I have to be proved right to say that they should be in all the matches and winning all the tag belts.
Yeah, so this match featured Pentagon Jr., Rey Fénix, Hangman Page, and Kenny Omega. Guess what? It was dead good. It was absolutely brilliant.
And again, this really feels like a Khan touch, Tony Khan touch, the video recap stuff. Maybe I'm completely way off base for that, and it's actually someone who's been there for ages. On the pre-existing creative team. Not that Tony Khan wasn't, but you know what I mean.
Everything's
kind of reshifted. But at the start, they showed the 8-man tag back in December where the Lucha Bros got the pin here. It was just such a nice bit of context.
Yeah, a way to establish them because they are the ranked number 5 team. And it was a way for them to say they are ranked number 5, but they pinned the champions before they were champions and they've pinned them since they've become champions. Yeah. So they have earned this title shot despite being ranked 5th.
Did you see Paige's name bar?
I didn't know.
Como se dice yeehaw? Which is, how do you say yeehaw in Spanish?
Very good.
I like this. It is like the Simpsons chalkboard gag every week for Paige's little name graphic. And it's just, Omega's worked over. He hot tagged to Paige. He runs wild and then the whole thing breaks down. And it is just incredible. Too many spots to make note of. My particular favourite, apart from obviously the Canadian Destroyer from Pentagon off of Phoenix's back onto Omega, was Omega and Pentagon finding themselves on the apron and trading blows back and forth, teasing that package pile driver, because that takes me back to a very happy place at the first show at All In, where the most dramatic part of that match near the finish was them on the apron warring back and forth. Loved it.
And then Rey Fénix runs the ropes and kicks Kenny Omega square in the face. Going back to that Canadian Destroyer spot you talked about, though, I actually liked the step just before which was one of my favorite of their tag team moves, Paige and Omega, is the throwing deadlift German, where Omega lifts someone up, Paige captures them and hits this deadlift German. And he did that to Pentagon. And then he grabs Rey Fénix and they're like, yeah, let's do this again. So he throws Fénix and Fénix hits a cutter on Paige. And Omega's like, oh no! And that's when Pentagon Jr., because Omega's like, oh dear, hits him with this Canadian Destroyer. It was just seamless, flawless stuff. And then after the spot you were talking about there on the apron, we get back into the ring and Hangman Page accidentally takes out Omega with the buckshot lariat, which has happened in quite a few of their matches. And then Rey Fénix just whips himself out of the ring to wipe out Page. And so it's just Penta and Kenny in the ring. And that near fall, I totally believed they were going to win the belts.
Yeah, it was, what do you call it? Pentagon Bomb?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't the Penta Driver.
No, it's not the Penta Driver.
I can't remember what it's called.
Well, maybe it is the Penta Driver.
But that Omega kick out was one of the best near falls of the year, at least.
Yeah.
But then Omega comes back, Snapdragon, Tiger Driver on Fénix. Fénix kicks out, which was another great near fall. But then the V-trigger Buckshot Lariat combo. Love that move. Bucks come down to help Omega up. Page looks like he's going to help and actually seems a bit into it, like into the friendship.
And Omega, what I loved here was actually some little subtle stuff from Omega here, because Paige was helping up, the Young Bucks also come down to help him up, and Omega's almost looked like, guys, Paige has got this.
Yeah.
And then, but Paige doesn't see Omega's reaction. He just sees the Bucks then. It's just like, okay, so the, of course they've got this. Just getting out of the ring. I'll go drink with the crowd instead then.
So well built. This is masterful stuff. And then it got even better. Because these toy figures, Luke. AEW announced that they now have action figures are coming.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the brand. Not the brand, but the manufacturing company.
I can't remember either. But yeah, they're coming out this summer.
But the way they did it was this kind of behind the scenes look of the people who made the toys, going up to the wrestlers they're based on and saying, look, here's your first AEW action figure. So you got to see these out of kayfabe reactions. And even from Jericho.
Yeah.
Where he was like, oh man, that's really cool. The detail on the face. That's excellent detail. I was like, this is working for me on so many levels. It's a shoot because, you know, it's real. It seems like real reaction.
The delight on Kenny Omega's face when he gets given that action figure is quite lovely.
Yeah, because it's an awesome action figure, which comes with a little Kenny Omega jacket.
Yeah. The articulation looks fantastic. It's going to like action figure nerddom. The articulation looks wonderful on them.
I made a sort of decision 5 years ago to stop cluttering my house with stuff. And I very rarely buy stuff like that anymore. I put it all here instead. Honest to God. Look, you can read my notes.
Oh, yeah?
Made me want to buy them all. F word. I'm going to buy them all. Right? So I am so into AEW. It's that sort of childlike glee they've managed to awaken in me. I'm so into all of this, the brand, the characters, that I just want to have some form of ownership over it. And the only tangible way I can do that is to buy them in voodoo doll form.
And not only that, they come with a ring. You can buy an AEW ring as well.
I thought you meant a diamond.
No, sorry.
I thought I was going to get to be like Green Lantern. And no. Their wrestling ring isn't as good.
I love an action. I do. Love an AEW. I don't know if it does, but you know, I'll get on to Mrs. Matt and tell her. Because that way it was Matt Jackson's wife at the start of that promo package. Because she's in charge of their merchandising and stuff. So yeah, they're coming out in the summer. So the first wave is the Bucks, Kenny, Jericho, and Brandy?
Yep.
It's odd that Brandy's in there. And Cody. And Cody's in there as well.
Be nice to have an active female wrestler.
Quite, exactly. But yeah, it's the biggest disappointment about this is it comes out in the summer.
Yeah, I know. If it said, and you can buy them now,
yeah.
I would have.
Well, okay, so it's New York Toy Fair either this weekend or the following weekend. So I wonder if we're going to get the first look at them like in full and people will be able to get up-close photos with them. Or we might even get like the molds for wave 2 and 3, where we get to see chase variants, where we get to see who's going to be in the next line of figures. When they get the Orange Cassidy figure, like that's when the the sales are going to.
Luchasaurus.
A Luchasaurus action figure.
A Pentagon.
Yeah, and then it can always be Pentagon.
They all look like action figures. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And then coming down a bit from that announcement. But still really good, I guess, was Cody versus Wardlow. Yeah.
So, my first note on this match is, holy hell, the AEW cage is enormous.
It's a big cage.
It's a big old boy, isn't it? Bloody hell. It's three times the size of a normal wrestler. It's huge.
It's the sort of cage that people shouldn't do moonsaults off.
It's the sort of cage. Do you remember No Mercy? On the N64, where you had a cage match, and everyone was like, that cage is too big. Like, it takes forever to climb up that cage and get over it. That's what this cage was. This cage is too big. And it was quite a spectacle there. And because it was so big, and there was all this big pomp and circumstance about it being low, and you had the big sort of like, whatever the air cannons or whatever you call those things, it made this match feel even bigger than it already was, which is, the first ever cage match in AEW. It was a spectacle.
Yeah.
And watching these two then collide in this ring felt like a real big spectacle. And I was like, this should have been on pay-per-view, but...
Yeah.
It would be my only thing. It should have been on pay-per-view, but it makes me want to see another one on pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because it's, all that stuff. They had an excellent video package with the sit-down interviews, made it feel so real, which is, it's a cage match, but you've got me buying this like it's a legit real thing that's happening and unfolding in front of my eyes.
And it was a really good match. It was a really good cage match, really intense, good. Loads of good spots on the outside. MJF is just fantastic. Brandy and Armour in Cody's corner.
Brandy in Cody's corner.
Oh.
It makes so much sense.
It works.
It works so much better. I'm so glad that they've gone in this direction.
And just everything was perfect about this match. Apart from, very nitpicky, it wasn't on pay-per-view. But you know what? That was the first thing everyone said in the office as well. We all kind of think this. But that is super nitpicky. It's a different era. It was definitely built up like a big deal. TV, that's the big thing these days.
Yeah.
It's the main event. If you're going to do it outside of pay-per-view, this was the way to do it. So, with that said, don't have an ad break in it.
Yeah.
Like, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the Battle Royal had an ad break once.
No, that's been, I mean, kind of like counters to what I said earlier about them feeling very comfortable in their ratings. They still aren't having any ad breaks in their opening match.
Yeah.
And because you're not having any ad breaks in sort of your first 30 minutes, you've got to have more ad breaks spread around the show because NXT's doing the exact same thing. Mm. It's a way to, you know, you get that first quarter, your first big quarter because no one's tuning out during the ad break. But because they didn't have one during the Battle Royal, that means we had to have one during the cage match. Right. And I do think that was an error.
Yes, yeah. Because it did, you know, it was good stuff. Go to break, come back, code is busted open.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, they showed the video recap. They did everything right.
Yeah, and it was picture in picture.
But then Rhodes started making the comeback. And I hadn't seen the bit where he was being worked over. So this is super nitpicky stuff, but you know, this is the level we're at now.
Yeah.
This was a 5 out of 5 show, but that is the only bit of criticism I would have.
I loved all of the interference, well, the attempted interference from MJF. At one point, like Cody gets thrown into the door and he's sort of like humbled over the door. So MJF goes around to this now open door and he's yelling at Arn, smash him in the head, smash him in the head. Feels so good to turn on him, smash him in the head. And Arn just smashes the door into MJF. And he's like, oh, ow, 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 ow. So like this little brat scurries around to the other side. He's like, I'll just interfere around here instead then. And he starts climbing the structure. Brandy knocks him in the back with a couple of chair shots. MJF gets down and is like, what? I'm now about to hit a woman. I cannot believe it's come to this. I just grabbed this dude, was like, F off, and throws him into the crowd.
I almost wish he did hit Brandy. Because that would have been so huge. That's the only thing left, really. And it was kind of set up by when he shook his bollocks at Brandy last week.
We've got the go-home show next week, man.
Yeah, but then that's enough for Cody to try and get out of the cage to help his wife. Totally believe that, babyface side. And that would have protected Wardlow. Wardlow could have won.
Can I counter that? If you would do the Brandy moment next week, that means Cody is, what, like 4 days away from his match with MJF. He's not allowed to touch him. Mm. So if Cody does that, and this is like, you've gone through the lashes, you've gone through the cage match, all you've got to do now is just get through this whole episode without touching me. I'm going to punch your wife.
Yeah. Oof.
And that means he's got that. That character-wise for Cody is going to be like very difficult. I may have built this up too much
now.
Because if they don't do this now,
yeah. Well, I'm not saying what they did was bad. I'm just saying I thought they were going to go that way. But I was so impressed with Wardlow.
Yeah.
I was, you know, apprehensive about seeing him in the ring. I thought he might just be generic big guy. But my God, that Swanton bomb that he hit off the top rope was beautiful.
Well, we made fun of Wardlow when they first signed him because they were like, well, you couldn't get Brian Cage, so you just signed someone else instead. And then when apparently they signed Brian Cage, you're like, but you've got Wardlow now.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he was really, really good in this match. And as we said earlier, I think they protected him so well in this match because they made him look so big, so dominant. And then when MJF handed him the diamond ring and Cody got out of his hands by giving him the low blow, punches him with that really protected diamond ring and hits him with the crossroads, and Wardlow still kicked out. And it took a Cody moonsault from the top of this 5-story steel cage to take him out. I think that protects Wardlow like no one's business.
It was a weird one because Wardlow, it was such a tall cage, Wardlow had to stand up to catch Cody.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you're getting it. Your knees would just go...
Your whole body would just explode.
Brian Alvarez, you know, a wrestler, he's got a very interesting insight to this sort of stuff. He said on the Wrestling Observer review that he thinks... Because, you know, usually if you hit a move of that magnitude, you go up to the top
and you sell it. You're like, oh, I'm going to do it. And then you do it because it builds the crowd expectation. But Cody got up there and hit it immediately.
Just jumped.
And Alvarez was saying, you know, I'm not criticizing him or anything, but I think he got up there, realized how high up he was, and thought, I've just got to hit this right now. I can't second guess myself.
I know. And it's funny because when you look at like the comments, the thread on Twitter, people then posting up this, everyone's being like, Cody didn't even look back. That's how much he trusted Wardlow. And I, you know, maybe that's part of it, but maybe it's also the Alvarez thing. I'm just like, oh God, this is high. No. I'm doing it now, otherwise I'm not going to do it.
And that's how Cody won. Fantastic finish. And MJF, this was the first show of vulnerability on his face. And he does that very well.
Yeah.
I've never seen him do it before.
Cody's gone through the lashes. MJF started this feud being like, I'm not wrestling Cody at Revolution. It's not going to happen because he's never going to get through these three steps. And he has. He is 1 week away from getting
through it.
So MJF in this moment is like, uh-oh.
It's happening.
It's actually happening. I've got to have this match now. So what well is he going to go to next week to ensure that the match doesn't happen?
Oh, exciting stuff. It was a 5 out of 5 show.
Yeah, absolutely 5 out of 5.
So the rest of the super chats. Jake C, the exalted one is Marco Stunt.
Could be.
Doubt it. Vala Mamidipudi, to reiterate what I said on Discord, looking at the thumbnail, Luke probably loved the hell out of this episode for Raven.
Please let it be Raven. Please let it be Raven.
Ket, can anyone run the ropes better than Phoenix? He's the best.
No one can run them quicker, that's for darn sure.
I love Keith Lee's sort of...
Yep.
Kenny Omega as well.
Yep. I love Rey Mysterio bouncing off the middle rope. So smart.
Well, that's how women should run the ropes.
No, they should do it like Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Trenton Brown was at the show live last night, and after the cage match, I concur.
Yes.
Cody is the greatest babyface in wrestling today, and like Ollie, I love him.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this, but it's on YouTube. Go watch Cody's promo that he cut after this match.
Yeah.
Holy hell. What a babyface.
Spine tingling. All Elite DK. The off-air Cody promo gave me goosebumps. Yes. Yeah, it is online. You should search it. Peter Mullins. Is there such a thing as a 6-star TV show? Felt like a pay-per-view.
All the stars.
I don't know what next week's going to be like, man. But it's got Pac versus Omega in a 30-minute Iron Man match.
Yeah.
Do they know that pay-per-views have to be the best? How are they going to do this? Taylor Gant was at the show. Cody is a hometown legend. 5 out of 5.
Yeah, the lovely hometown reaction for Cody Rhodes was just... Oh, it was absolutely... And coming off the back as well from getting Dustin in his hometown the week prior. Oh, lovely stuff.
Lot of people at the show, it seems, because Pledgehammer Sawyer as well. I was in the second row by the corner where Cody jumped from. I've seen plenty of cage matches where somebody dives or flips off the top. TV doesn't do those spots justice. Holy bleep. Incredible show.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
That is something that will live in your memory forever.
Yeah.
That is like a historic wrestling episode.
Because it's crazy how the cage match doesn't really feel special anymore. And it's just it was a reaction to the Monday Night War, which was, well, we've got to do crazy stuff, so we just got to put this out on TV basically every week. So growing up as fans, you know, in our sort of like teenage years, we just saw cage matches all the time. We just saw them on TV and they were like, you know, middle of the card stuff. They just felt like it was any other match. Mm. So credit to AEW for really making this feel like a cage match is a big deal that you have got to tune in for and see this cage match. And you're absolutely right. Like that, seeing Cody do that moonsault is something that, you know, in 20 years time, people will be like, oh, I was there when Cody did that moonsault. That's what I'd like to believe anyway. I might be way off base.
Nate drops surname. I absolutely love this episode and love AEW. This build to Revolution has been great and next week is stacked again. Also, RIP Sammy. What a super kick.
Really
amazing.
Was.
It's like that spot's got lost in all the other crazy things. Andy Malone. Best Dynamite episode so far. Y'all guys are awesome. And by the way, Dance Jobber.
And Noah Fortner says, Jeff Cobb makes my girlfriend uncomfortable due to him being, and I quote, uncomfortably wet and also having a camel toe.
Are those two things related?
All Elite DK, can you name any wrestler who cut so many great promos like Cody in the last two decades? He is the best babyface in wrestling because he connects with us. There you go, actually, yeah.
And All Elite Daniel Bryan as well.
Yeah. All Elite DK again. Paige fears YB, so was telling everyone their weakness.
Yes, on the Being the Elite this week, he was going around to all the other tag teams in the Tag Team Battle Royal saying, you know, Matt's got a bad back, do this.
Very interesting. Pyro Beetle, I'm so happy there are no escape rules in the cage. Win in AEW.
Dance, Jobber.
Jobber JJ, I'm loving AEW. Battle Royal was so much fun, and you could see there was a plan and point to the eliminations. Use that super kick. Has your use that super kick. Has your gift for Super Chat's thumbs up party. Good God, Cody's moonsault. 5 out of 5 show.
So many spots to talk about. It's like they watched NXT TakeOver and thought, yeah, we're going to do one too.
Uh-oh.
We're going to do a TakeOver.
Let's do a TakeOver. Yeah.
On TV.
They dropped surname. When Nyla said, you're all buzzing like bees, I thought, she is Vigo. You are like the buzzing of flies to her.
Of course, you know that Ghostbusters 2 reference.
Love it. Love Pete McNichol. Do you want to take him away?
Myth roll. No worry. Jake and Cage will win Hoss Elite Wrestling. Yes. Yeah. Nathan the Alpha Wolf fella. Did you guys see Adam Bachiti in the front row, JK?
There was a lad that looked like him.
Oh, really?
I think he was the one who was wearing the Enzo t-shirt.
Yeah, what's that? Who wears an Enzo t-shirt in 2020? Canalebe Monprabele. Wardlow looks like Rhino after bug fixes. It's too blocky, original Rhino.
I wonder if you also meant Jeff Cobb there, because Jeff Cobb's got some Rhino about him.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Tim Arndt says, as a cynical wrestling fan, I find all this positivity odd. I'm so used to criticizing wrestling that I've grown used to it. AEW was fantastic.
I know, it makes me feel weird too.
Yeah. Mm. Bradley Fetzer, do you think AEW should have a streaming service to watch pay-per-views on or use a host service such as Hulu? They do, they have BR Live. And the Elite 67 says, I'm going to Revolution next week. Excited.
Have a good time, bring a sign.
I'm guessing
dance.
I'm absolutely gutted I'm not around for the live stream.
I'm watching live.
I know, man.
Me and Randy Andy Datsun, because everyone else is busy.
Yeah, I'm gutted I can't go. Tuttle Blurred, going to AEW Revolution, I'm bringing a support Wrestle Talk sign. Also, JR shouldn't do matches. He sounds like he waters down the product horribly.
Oh, I disagree. I think he's been really good recently. I must say, though, I think Taz should be on that team.
100%.
Taz, JR, and Excalibur.
I'm going with Taz, Schiavone, and Excalibur. That's my preferred lineup.
Shall I jump on here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Alistair Gammond, dance chopper.
Go buy the t-shirt.
Josh DeDominics, want to thank you guys for everything you do. Stop it. Darby keeping his promise of having Mox's back was so awesome. I love seeing blood in the main event. It made the match feel gruesome. What do you guys think is next for Rey Fénix and Pentagon? They are often used as just devices in other people's feuds, unfortunately.
Yeah, they feel like Santana and Ortiz in that respect, almost. Like, Santana and Ortiz don't feel like they are at the top of their game currently. And, like, Pentagon and Fénix are having these, like, blow-away matches, but they're not involved in these sort of, like, you know, pay-per-view. I mean, did they give the titles at Full Gear? I can't remember if they did.
No, it was on TV, wasn't it?
I can't quite remember. But actually, this is, you know, probably fuel to the fire that, you know, it says a lot when you can't really name, like, the big Lucha Brothers story in AEW that they've had.
I think Buck should win the belts, and then they've got Lucha Bros to feud with.
Yeah, because that's it. Like, the Lucha Brothers' big thing was that Young Bucks feud last year in the pre-TV era.
Blimey, I've just seen Josh Dominics' is super
chat. Oh, wow, money. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, man.
God, the AEW crowd, bring the money.
It's that car money.
They don't do as behind the ratings, but, you know, it's a higher swaft. Joe Ray, Ollie, thanks so much for mentioning me at the end of your news yesterday. I hope you have your short shorts ready. And this is for Chopper. Skip, Ollie. Well, that's it. He's the guy who wanted the AJ Lee theme show.
Oh, yeah. What's leading the poll?
I haven't looked yet. You can have a look. Nate dropped surname. Maybe I missed it. Anyway, to stream Wrestle Talk Live for those who can't be there, or did you already secure a TV deal for your company? We're seeing if we're going to stream it.
Yes.
That is a huge technical feat that we've tried once before and didn't quite work.
Yeah, everyone probably remembers the first episode of SmackDown on Fox that we did live at WrestleGate, and that's how well our streaming from a wrestling show can sometimes go.
So maybe we'll do the... Well, we'll see. We'll update you. KML, can you make Pete jump from a cage at your live show? Dive, Chopper, dive. AEW was great as always. 2 hours flew by so quickly. It definitely did.
Jonathan Hedman. He's so small, he would just sort of float down, like falling with style.
Jonathan Hedman, I'll listen to the podcast later at the gym. Ooh. Just wanted to say, I still live. P.S. Baba Ganoush, hi. I think this is because we're all like, hey, Tomo's back. And of course, Hedman, the headmaster. Mm-hmm. Has he been around much recently? Start recording. Not AEW related, but I'm so proud of how far women's wrestlers come from the Kelly Kelly versus Eve days in WWE. Everyone wants to see the women's matches now. It's great.
Yeah, we were doing our Elimination Chamber 2014 Patreon episode quite recently. Little plug for that. And that match, that show features AJ Lee versus Cameron in a match that is just like, holy hell, this is just here to fill up. This was essentially to try and kill the crowd after they got so hot from the Shield Wyatt family match. And you look at, you know, 1 year later in that company, there's this huge influx of like, now we're going to take women's wrestling seriously. And it's just it's night and day. Mm. Absolutely night and day the last 5 years.
For the last minute super chats that have just come in, All Elite DK, there are so many baby faces, but only Cody is my bro. He's my bro, not yours. Matt Dennis, Colin Ciampa's cage bump or Cody's cage bump? Who did it better? Ooh.
So which one, sorry?
Ciampa and Cole's War Games.
Oh, the air raid crash.
I'll probably say the War Games one just because it felt... There is something about being on pay-per-view that makes my brain deem it more important.
Also, this didn't have... it didn't have the Baker face.
Nobody McNoob face, chop dancer, and then they've... tube. But I guess it's chop dancer. Chop dancer. Chop. It's confusing. And All Elite DK finally, I want Arn Anderson versus MJF next week. Dance, copper, dance.
So, as an update on the poll, it is AJ Lee's theme currently leading the way with 55%. Metalingus has got 36% and Give Me the Green Lad has only got 8% of the vote. So it looks like you need to get those short shorts and the sort of the high... Do you want to borrow my Converse
It's cold. It's cold in February.
Yeah, we'll get you dancing around by the canal, mate. It'll be lovely. Two, what is legit one of the worst wrestling theme songs of all time?
Just had another one pop in. All Elite DK. Cody is my bro because Wonder Ollie is my sis. What a family.
And Benny Sato says, I got a new job start on Monday. Thanks for keeping me sane and up to date on wrestling. Hashtag love WrestleTalk. We love you, Benny.
Well done, Benny. That's great that you've got the job.
Right, I've got some emails in that I would like to go through.
I've missed the emails.
So have I, because we had to review some stupid developmental show on Tuesday's show, so we didn't get a chance to dive into the mailbag properly.
You know what the best thing about Dynamite was this week that I didn't get to say in the actual show? It wasn't NXT.
Yeah.
But because there was no selling on this show.
It's what we're all thinking, though, let's be honest. But I wanted you to read this email out because I thought this was really good. And I double-checked with the guy that we're okay to read this out. This comes in from Douglas, or Doug. He says, Hi, Luke and Ollie. It's been a while since I emailed you guys, but seeing as Sonic is now out in theatres, I can send a pic to prove, in fact, it did happen. I was, in fact, Jim Carrey's stunt double.
Holy moly.
On Sonic the Hedgehog.
What?
It was an amazing experience to be able to work alongside one of the best comics to ever do it. I've attached a photo of the two of us, as well as the other lead double. If you guys or anyone else in the Swaff Nation is interested in seeing some of the dumb, crazy stuff I get up to as a stuntman, my IG handle is at Douglas Armstrong. And if no one believes me, check the credits.
Whoa, that's amazing, Douglas. And there's a picture.
Yeah.
He's handsome.
Isn't he just?
Wow. I mean, he doesn't look anything like Jim Carrey.
But they've got the same hair and same mustache.
They've got the same hair and outfit.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, congratulations, Douglas.
So that really, like...
Let's IMDb him. Who else has he been a stuntman for?
Okay, well, let me have a quick look.
Of course, Jim Carrey plays Dr. Eggman.
No.
For all you fans who haven't yet seen the movie.
He plays Dr. Robotnik.
Dr. Eggman.
Douglas... Oh, man, what was his name again?
Douglas Armstrong.
Thank you. I've already deleted the email.
Famous fan. That's yeah. nice to know. Any good company, folks.
Well, I've all got you, a Douglas.
Joe buddies at home.
Another little teaser for you.
Tease.
So I've got a Douglas Armstrong who is an actor. Oh, who was a stunt double. He's been on To All the Boys.
It's got to be
P.S.
him, right?
I Still Love You. But it's not credited as. He hasn't got the Sonic credit on here.
Maybe it's pending.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, let's actually go to the Sonic the Hedgehog. Do you want to fill for time while I do this?
I can't do that.
Okay, well, this is just going to be fabulous content. Big in adverts.
Why don't I just open up my Twitter? Or I could do some emails.
Hold on. Nearly there.
Let
I've now got
do some
Douglas.
Emails.
Okay, well, he's not in the...
Some sponsorship requests.
He's not in the credits on IMDb, so I can't quite confirm which of them he is. But we've got pictures to prove that he is there.
Pics, it did happen.
Yeah. We've had this email in from Safe, who said, just finished watching Dynamite, and my God, that is the greatest wrestling show I've ever watched from start to finish.
I like it when people see something really good, and their obvious first port of call is, I must tell Ollie and Luke about this.
Yes, but there is also ulterior motives to this email as well, because it felt like he was just doing this to be like, hey guys, here's my email about how good I loved AEW. But also, my main question is related to the wrestling show you're putting on. I can't seem to find any information about it on the website, and I don't remember which video you announced it on. I'm considering coming if it's a time that doesn't coincide with my exams. Could you mention where to find the details of the event and how to get tickets? Thanks for your underappreciated service to the British Indies. You're making a real difference all round, and it stems from raising awareness simply by mentioning them in your videos. I hope you all enjoy Dynamite as much as I did. All the best, Safe. Now, the problem there you've gone, Safe, is you've gone to WrestleTalk.com, which is a website for marks. What you want to do is go to WrestleTalkLive.com, and that will have all the details.
Oh, yeah, it's got a whole event website. If it goes well, we might do more.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. So that'll give you all the ticket information, all the start times and the location and everything like that. It is on the 16th of March. I can tell you that much for free. But yeah, you go to the website, which is also free, and get all the information that you need on there. Although Safe does point out something that's very, very important there. We probably should do something about it on the website. Considering how successful that website is, we probably should use it.
It is. I don't know if people know this, but under Andy Datsun's, I was going to say stiff hand then, but that's not right. Firm guidance. It all sounds so sexual.
Firm grip.
Yeah.
Yep.
Under Andy's very tight grip.
Yeah.
It actually is. It's very hard. I don't know how some numbers work.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
No.
But it looks like it could be in the top five wrestling websites in the world. Wrestling news websites.
It's going to be also in the top five websites in the world as well. That's how successful it is. It's basically Pornhub, X-Hamster, the BBC, us.
Oh God, I nearly made an awful BBC joke. So they're all Pornhub. but yes, go to WrestleTalkLive.com to get your tickets. Andy has been off this week.
He has been off this week.
So we can let him off.
I forgot about that. That's when I messaged him on Monday. And I was just wishing on a prayer that he didn't look at it. Because that way I know that he's not doing any work.
Yes.
And that's what I want. What I don't want is him to be off for a week, but checking Discord to see and to keep abreast of things. I'd just rather he take the week off.
Well, he'll be in the office tomorrow. We're going karaoke tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Is he coming in for it,
He's coming in for that.
On his week off?
Yeah, but it's like a work party.
Yeah, but it depends on what time he's coming into the office, I suppose.
Six.
Oh, that's
go
fine.
To the pub.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Louis Danger as well.
Dangor's coming.
Dangor is coming.
He didn't say that to me earlier. I was messaging. We were talking about Raven, about how, I've probably said this already in the video, but we haven't recorded that yet. He is the only person I want to be the Exalted One, pretty much at this point.
He is badass, just the way he's sitting there. I'm pretty sure it's a red herring. But like I said, we've already said this.
Yeah, we have. So, congratulations, you get to hear this conversation twice. But actually, the second time around, in its genesis. This last email is about a blue-collar dream job. It comes in from Lucas. It says, greetings, Luke, and the entire WrestleTalk crew.
Blue-collar dream job. Blue job? No, that's pornographic again.
Yeah, which you are.
Collar dreams.
Even that sounds a bit.
I don't want to fetishize blue collar. I feel like that's patronising to blue collar.
It's not patronising in a way, though, because we're essentially saying you've got the best jobs and we wish we could be more like you.
No, we're saying we wish we had simpler lives.
Dude, running Cafe 90s.
That way.
Running Cafe 90s is not like a simple dream.
I give Cafe 90s 18 months before it's crippled by business
leads. And exactly, the stress of that, that's you know, nowhere near the ballpark of the stress we get here. Anyway, so this comes in from Lucas. He says, first of all, I want to say thank you to the entire crew. Your hard work and consistent content always helps me get through tough days at the office. I have a quick question before I get into my blue-collar dream job. What happened to CGW? I understand you, gentlemen, and I use that term as loosely as possible. I'm very busy with the content and business, but is Crap Gimmicks dead? I haven't heard anything about it in the magazine episode for quite some time. I could just be waiting to hear the newest member of CGW, the real Chopper Quinn Petros, to get added to the roster. He obviously emailed in with this suggestion.
Yeah, well, we asked around, viewer feedback, and we tried a few new things out. And as you might have seen on those Friday shows that we do for the WrestleTalk podcast, it is a different format now. It's not live streamed. Yep. We have no super chats in them because, you know, we had people, some people wanted them, some people didn't. So we thought, well, let's spread that out.
Exactly, yeah.
Now you've only got super chats on Raw and AEW.
Yeah, there's only two shows in the week now.
And a part of that was also more Patreon mailbag. And more news,
yeah.
Stuff that we missed earlier in the week, and something had to give. And as much as we love Crap Gimmicks, and as a loyal following that it has, it was the least most wanted thing.
Yes,
if that makes sense. But that's not to say it's dead. You know, I love it dearly. So maybe we could bring it back as a podcast.
Yeah.
Exclusive here and there.
He concludes, my blue-collar dream job would be to make wooden furniture from hand.
Ooh.
I've always loved woodworking, and if I could dedicate more time to it, I feel it would be fulfilling. But alas, I must sit behind this desk and do business, pay for those two darn kids and that mortgage.
Oh, what a mistake they were.
P.S. Ollie, how's the writing? Are you still working on that novel? And here's a throwback. I'll see if you can remember this reference. Look what he's attached.
It's a mustache on Robert Roode.
Rick Roode.
That's why I was struggling because I could only think Robert Roode.
But do you remember the very early days of this podcast in the intros and outros? We said, don't send us Roode pics.
You got so many of those.
All I got was lots of images of Rick Roode.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, what a lovely throwback. But are you still working on your novel?
Well, which one? I have not dropped, but decided that the big one is too big. It's crippling me. I don't have enough time to do my actual job. How am I going to dive into a two-part epic sci-fi fantasy?
Yeah.
So I, for this year, have chosen a different project. I've come up with it, and I'm working on that. So it's a bit more accessible for my brain to get into.
How exciting.
I fleshed out the sort of... I fantasy booked it. It's weird because in the writing class, I'm approaching it very much like a wrestling story.
Yeah.
And everyone else has come at it from Ulysses and literary fiction.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't want to read about people's lives. Where's the robots?
We on BBC News today, they were had a montage of people who were just reciting poetry from memory. And... My wife turned to me and said, like, do you know any poetry by heart? And I was like, hey, I don't know a poem. Like, I don't think I could name you one poem.
But you just by, we've got to go live, actually.
Yeah, no.
But you must know some.
I don't think I could name you a
Shall
single
I
poem.
Thee to a summer's day?
But I don't know what that's called.
More lovely and more temperate. I believe it's Sonnet 140. I don't know. Sonnet number. See,
Even you don't know it. I do know Rage Against the Machine, though. And they're poets in a different kind of style.
They F you up, your mum and dad.
They do.
That's
and they
Philip Larkin. I think. Oh, God.
I thought you were
making
about,
me doubt everything.
I thought you were talking about Rage Against the Machine for a second. I was like, well, they certainly did anger my parents. Anyway, we've got to get into... No, well, we've got to go live. But also, that's the end of this podcast. We'll be back tomorrow, though, with my favourite show of the week, the magazine show, where we dive into the news and all that good stuff and your Patreon mailbag questions. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Now Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.